When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Hey, we're the Looters.
Hey, what's up?
Looters is a sci-fi western actual play podcast using the Stars Without Number system.
We're a group of friends getting into trouble all over the universe.
So come with us if you're into adventure.
A rocket flies out of one of these ships far behind you and crashes into the wall and blows up.
There's rockets?
It's Mario Kart.
Crazy.
Intrigue.
Can I hack into the body and maybe see if they have like a memory data bank in their brain or some shit like that I can access?
That'll literally.
Devastating physical injury.
Just take cover.
Okay. She's a good pilot, everyone. She's very good.
And friendship.
Aww. New episodes of Looters out every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Previously on Dungeons & Dragons.
I don't want to go in there, you guys.
Light does not permeate this darkness, it seems. Frightening.
And you see hundreds of unblinking eyes staring up at you.
They look like, you know, a beholder. These are...
But tiny, right?
These are
like
tiny babies?
I wonder where Mama is.
What are you doing here?
Oh, just passing through?
We would love to just continue on our way.
What do you have to offer me? It says, I wish for my freedom.
Well, we are here to essentially liberate everybody from this flying fortress. That includes you, Mama.
Do you not want to fight for your freedom rather than being here with all of your dream children forever?
I would fight for my freedom. However, I am bound to this cavern.
Thank you for Buxy. We'll meet again.
We will return with this key. You will help us fight for freedom.
Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons. I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore, and with me today is Carla Maxted.
That is me. I play Yenbul Nuri, a Kalishtar cleric.
And Tom Laird.
That's me. Play Flint Firebeard, a champion dwarf fighter.
And Amy Moore.
Mm-hmm. I'm Thea Amastasia, and I play a high elf druid.
I said I am Thea Amastasia, and I play... Yeah.
Well, you are. You embody her.
You are.
It was accurate.
Also, I wish you would have told me that we were going for sassy mm-hmms after the intros, because I totally would have done something different.
I know. You really did kind of bring the sass.
See, this is what the downtime is for, everybody.
To where discuss
we
our
discuss what we're doing in the next one. With the common theme, which we missed in the last one. But hey, we have downtimes over on Patreon. What's a downtime?
Oh, we get to bitch and complain.
Well, that's where we talk about the episode we just recorded.
That too.
Yeah, we record an episode, and then we discuss what we liked, what we didn't like, how Russ was mean to us, what our plans are.
How Russ was mean to us. Don't forget that part.
Yeah, usually.
Hey, don't worry. They don't talk about that a lot because Russ is never mean to
right.
them.
You know, just random guesses about what might happen or occasionally. And you might think we use this time to discuss strategy. We do not.
No.
Yeah, you'd be
almost
wrong.
Never.
Yeah.
You'd think we could like regroup. This is a really good organized time to regroup and plan what we're going to do next time.
Nope.
No, we don't use it for that. We mostly just talk about Russ to his face. And it's fun. It's lighthearted and it's fun and we laugh and have a good time.
Yeah. When I was like, hey, guys, we should just, you know, all this stuff that we're doing where we're just, you know, talking about how much Russ was a dum-dum or a doink, or we just wanted to put it into a thing. So you can join us over on Patreon at the $5 or up tiers to get access to those weekly extra bonus episodes.
Woo-woo.
But when you are a patron, you also get an episode dedicated to you, like today's patron, Weston Senzig.
Thanks, Weston Senzig. Good name. Do our patrons
Weston.
Have the best names?
I really feel like
every week I'm like, damn, that's a good name. That seems like a book name or a movie name or
something.
And I like it.
We love all.
Did Jane Austen write about you by any chance, Weston?
Yes. I don't get the reference.
Yeah. No, I believe
it's
so.
It's not a reference. It's just, it sounds like a book name.
Oh. It does.
Like maybe he's from a Jane Austen novel.
Agreed.
Ooh, maybe.
Maybe. Patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. Come join us over there. Your name is awesome too. Now, fuck it. Let's play.
So we're in a trash pot.
You are hovering above a trash pile.
Trash.
The Otiaks below you are about finished the refuse that they have procured from the skeletons that have walked in, paid no attention to you, and walked out. And we join back in the conversation of whether to backtrack or whether to conjure and go.
I think we should go forward and find... Oh, gosh, after seeing this Beholders, I just feel really bad about this. But, like, go forward, find something to kill for them to eat.
I'm sure we'll find some sort of nasty creature that wants us dead. We'll kill it. We'll bring it back here.
Well, what if we just go where the skeletons came from with the food that they brought? Maybe we'll be able to find more there.
Yeah, okay, that's a good idea.
Yes.
I guess maybe we try and time it if they seem to be coming in regular intervals. I know there was one and then there was a couple. I don't know if that seems to be regular or just random.
There have not been enough as the Otiaks are finishing their current piles to determine if there is any pre-scheduled enterings of skeletons.
Okay. We are going to come back and we are going to bring you delicious food.
Hurry!
And when we do, I want that key.
Yes.
Okay. We'll see you soon. And we fly over and then I imagine have to get off to get down to go through the crack.
As you fly over, what looked like a crack opens up into more of a channel. And beyond, you see that the filth is kind of pouring into it a little bit around the sides. But it's, again, another rough-walled cavern. And it contains, like, the filth and the stench that you smelled in the last room permeates through into this room. In fact, at this point, I'd like everybody to make a constitution saving throw.
Because of the stinky bits?
Because of the stinky bits.
Wow. That's a lot of stink.
Oh, God, no. It's not good.
Mine isn't great either. 11.
10.
Oh, no, I get a plus 1. 12.
So yours 24.
Con bonus.
What? Yeah, right?
So my con bonus is plus 9.
Cool.
So you just gotta roll a, you gotta roll a 1.
25.
Yes.
There it is.
Everybody has succeeded. It stinks real bad, but you're not gonna take any sort of physical damage from it. And as you enter into this new cavern, you see 20 unarmed skeletons standing, waiting in line, each beside a cart and what looks like a chute in the wall. They don't look to you as you enter. There is ambience of the room. There's like shadows that curl like smoke from the wall. So they are all waiting at this cart in line.
Are they wearing clothes? Doesn't matter. I'm just want to paint a visual picture for me.
Yeah. No, they're just naked skeletons.
Nude skeletons.
You can see all the bones.
Okay.
Except the most important ones now because they're skeletons. You know. I winked, but nobody could see that because this is a...
It was a very dramatic wink.
It's the only way I wink. I was trying to make like a lack of dick joke because...
Mm-hmm. Oh, we got it.
Oh, I feel like you succeeded.
Yeah, I feel like...
I don't think it landed well.
No, it lingered.
No, everyone got it.
Lingered for sure. Anyway.
Well, we drove it home here.
You know when you're reading through your sheet to find something useful?
Mm-hmm.
And then you come across something that you're like, well, fuck. Turns out, I have something called Primal Strike. And when I attack in beast form,
My attack counts as magical for the purpose of overcoming resistance and immunity to non-magical attacks and damage.
Huh.
Huh.
Well, that's interesting information.
Yep.
Isn't it just?
That's a thing that you have had the whole time?
Uh-huh.
I mean,
yeah, cool. No, like the whole time,
I guess it doesn't matter
because
you've never attacked or been attacked when you've been in creature form, so this is just...
Yeah, no, this
would, wouldn't have been useful information to have.
Definitely haven't been attacked, but like non-magical attacks.
The thing about that's these higher level characters is that there's just so much to remember.
There's so much. That's why I played a fighter who only fights.
I feel like you guys, I don't want to call you out, but you have been playing these characters for years. So I feel like you should, but maybe that makes it harder.
I think I've read it wrong. Mine's all new. This whole time. I don't know.
What did you figure out?
That I have primal strike, and when I'm an animal, mm-hmm. I have resistance and immunity to non-magical attacks and damage.
Why you not use that?
Why I not use that?
Why you not use that?
I'm sorry. I'm just going to have to put this back on the listeners just for a minute. You guys, come on, you're guys. Supposed to tell me.
We count on you to stop us from doing dumb shit. Like forgetting about very powerful things that we can do that would be life-saving.
From like, since like level 3 or something like that. Like, it's been a long time.
Oh, man.
Since I could wild shape, I've had this ability. I'm a disgrace.
We're real good at D&D, guys.
Oh, I can't remember. We're in a shopping cart lineup filled with skeletons, yes?
We're in a garbage chute lineup staffed by skeletons.
Yeah, so you know that means that your attacks don't impose resistance and immunity.
Oh,
it's not attacks on you.
Your attacks in beast form count as magical for the purpose of overcoming resistance. Yeah.
So it's not attacks on you,
and
it's
immunity
you when
them.
You scratch them. If
oh,
they
thank
have
God.
Resistance.
See, okay. I've read it now reversed twice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. So you haven't been taking extra damage. You might have been giving less damage because you also haven't been necessarily bringing that. I feel like you brought that up at some point.
Have I?
Yeah. So if you pierce someone and they have resistance, you say, it's actually
magic.
Yep. This should be downtime stuff,
this
everybody.
This should be downtime stuff.
This is the
stuff.
Kind of
sorry.
Stuff that you can get in downtime. No, it's not.
It's
because
not.
We just talked
this is
about
way
it right
more
now.
Strategy talk than we would ever have in a
little
downtime.
Little sneak peek for you in what would maybe happen in downtime.
For downtime, really, is just Amy going, I'm mad about this.
This is,
you know what really grinds my gears?
We're never going to get through this pyramid, everybody. Let's
no,
just
I know.
Keep going
we,
here.
We've just accepted that we live here
we've
now.
Resigned. Yes, this
so
is our
we're
place
in
of
a
residence.
Lineup. We're outside the trash Costco.
Yep.
Behind all the naked skeletons.
Do you think that we could, like, budge in line somehow but not upset anybody?
You see, after, as you enter and wait just a moment, and you're talking about budging in line and about your magical attacks or non-magical attacks or whatever the hell you're talking about, you see a pile of this refuse pile come out of this chute and land down in this cart, and the skeleton who's standing at it reaches down, picks it up, and begins to walk towards the exit where you walked in.
Okay, I totally imagine them all with shopping carts in a line. And they'd like...
Yeah.
Like the garbage chute dumps it into their shopping cart and they wheel their shopping cart away.
I like
They've
that better.
They've got their trolleys in the queue.
Yes.
We now have them with shopping carts.
Perfect.
And the refuse falls down into the shopping cart and it turns and you hear the squeaky wheels.
You know when you see a random shopping cart in a ditch somewhere and you think like, how'd that get there? We're miles away from a Walmart. It's because it's been kicked out of a floating pyramid somewhere above.
Oh my God.
Because it was
this
damaged.
This explains a lot.
This really does.
That's just where it comes from.
I mean, it is what I'm going to think every time I see a random shopping cart now, so thanks.
You're welcome.
It's fun.
It's a little more whimsical than the alternative.
It rolls by your location and out into the OTX.
And still nothing like
cavern.
the skeletons
not looking
are like,
at us.
No, they all kind of drive forward with their carts and stop and wait.
Okay.
Is this going to be good enough?
I don't know. Maybe if we had more, they wanted more food. So... double load? I wonder if we interrupt the skeletons, then they notice and attack us?
Yeah, I don't know. They don't seem to be really kind of conscious.
Are there other empty carts in the room as well, Russ?
Do we need a quarter to get one out?
Yeah.
Odds yes, evens no. Odds yes. There's one overturned cart. It's missing one wheel. It's a bit bent out of shape. It's off in the corner.
Well, if we need more of the, I guess, food? Is that what?
Sure.
Yeah, sure. All right.
Yes, food.
If we need more of the food, maybe we can, like, swap out this empty cart for one that gets filled up and then fill it up a second time and then take it from a skeleton after that. Then we deliver more food because that's what they want.
Sure, yeah. Just okay, bring I love- them and be like, we've got more where this came from.
You want, we just stand in line, we go, they fill it up, we wait, we get a second load, and then we go. Are we budging? Are we line budgers? Is that who we are now?
It's just us, guys.
There's a time and a place, so...
All I'm wondering is, are all these skeletons coming back in there with this?
Yes.
It seems like a fairly constant supply of the same kind of food.
This is true. They said they want good food. Better food.
Do we maybe bring them this and just see if it works? I mean, did they seem like very smart to you, Yenbol, or...
No. But I do feel like we want perhaps something better. Or at least more. Perhaps we go a little bit further and see what we see. If nothing better, we come back, we take the trash, we try that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there an exit to this room other than the trash chute?
Negative, just the one you came in.
Well then.
But there was another exit out of the... Yeah. Yeah.
Was another entrance exit out of the other
out of the trash room.
Yeah.
Oh, well. If we have to go back into the trash room, we may as well try and bring a double cart, see if it works. If it does not work, we're already here. May as well get trash. That's what I always say.
Very applicable saying. Okay, we wait for trash. We wait patiently in the lineup.
We get a cart and wait patiently in the lineup for some trash. But when it fills up, then we'll wait for a double load.
Like you're just getting in line at the end.
Yeah.
20 skeletons deep.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so a little montage scene. We see you get in line here at the back.
I lean over to Mannix and I say, I spy with my little eye.
God damn it.
Something that is green.
Is it trash?
Yeah, your turn.
20 minutes later.
Is it that brown paper bag over there?
No.
Is it that pile of poop over there?
No.
Is it that scar on that that skeleton up there?
No.
Is it this label on the shopping cart?
No.
Oh my god, is it my bag?
40 minutes later.
Is it Flint's leather belt?
No.
Is it Yenbol's tassels on her rug?
No.
Is it... I don't want to play anymore. No, wait. My shoes?
Yeah.
Okay, now I don't want to play anymore.
30 minutes later.
Would you rather?
Oh, God, we're next. Jesus. You're next in line.
Mm-hmm.
And a pile of refuse comes down and lands in your cart.
We wait for...
We're going to wait for the next...
Second
we want
dump.
A double pile.
We want it two piles high.
You see the skeletons checking their imaginary watches behind you. So they're impatiently waiting.
No one likes a line.
Wish they could play I Spy with them.
Their teeth are chattering together as it looks like they're just getting antsy by the fact that you're waiting there. And then another pile comes down and into your cart. It's overflowing now. You begin to push the cart at this point, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, I feel like we kind of support it by the sides as well. You
yeah,
said there are
only
three wheels.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We're compensating for the weight.
No, that's okay. I was going to make it fall out of if you didn't say something. So good.
Figured.
Good.
Yep. I figured you told us it had three wheels for a reason. Yep. That was a fuck
always.
Us over with later.
Yep. Okay, you roll the cart back out. And you roll it back into the OTF's lair, who are eating just other stuff in there. You don't even need to know. It's just...
It's better if we don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And they turn and look at you and say, bring food?
Yes, we brought food. Lots of food.
They stomp closer towards you.
You have key?
You drop food.
I want to see the key.
One of them moves one of their tentacles and goes deep into one of the piles and pulls back a literal key. It's covered in filth.
Mm-hmm. But it is
a key, and it moves it towards you and says, drop food.
I want to make sure that the carpet is with us, so hopefully when we get the key, we can just be on it.
Okay. Sure.
Go back.
The carpet can be where you want it to be.
Yeah, it'll be with us.
Okay.
Can one of you make sure you get the key?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Okay, we'll drop food. We'll take key. Thank you. So I start to dump the cart.
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network.
Strange happenings are occurring in the world of Exandria. Slayed creatures and beasts from days of yore are returning to the land of the living, and it's up to a band of unlikely heroes to re-slay them. Welcome to the Re-Slayer's Take.
Join Jasmine Bular, Jasmine Chung, Jasper Cartwright, and Caroline Lux alongside Game Masters Nick Williams and me, George Primavera, in this Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition role-playing adventure through Critical Role's fantasy world of Exandria. But don't worry, you won't need to know the rules to follow this story. All you need to know is that nothing the players do is scripted or planned, and their fates are determined by their own cleverness and the roll of a 20-sided die.
So what the heck are you waiting for? Adventure awaits in the Re-Slayer's Take.
New episodes drop weekly on Mondays wherever you stream your podcasts.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
The refuse begins to fall to the ground, and it moves its tentacle closer to your direction.
I put my hand outstretched.
It moves closer and closer until all of the refuse has fallen to the ground, and it's within arm's reach from you, Thea.
I reach just a little bit further and wrap my hand around the key.
The tentacle is holding tight to the key.
I give it like a little scratchy scratch with my finger, a little tickle with my finger.
And I also pull out the last of that bread and the smelly cheese and put it on the top as the cherry on the garbage sundae.
It releases the key and both of them rush towards the refuse and begin devouring it.
Quickly, on the carpet.
Hop on the carpet and I take out my water skin and I rinse the key off and my hand.
And we carpet back the way we came.
You zip back down and into the dark chamber. And as you enter the darkened chamber, the darkness clears around you as you fly back into the center and you hear the clicking around you. Have you brought the key?
Yeah, we have it. I lift up the key.
The room gets brighter as the beholder comes down towards you, hovering above, and you feel like a tug, like it's manipulating it without touching it.
Oh, and I let go.
And it raises it towards itself and gazes upon it, spins around in place in front of it. And then there's a bright flash of light that comes from this key, and it illuminates the entire room, and you can see all of these eyes for once blink in that moment and begin to swirl around this room. And they come close to you and are swirling around and then quickly move back to the walls. And you hear, you feel like this energy like drop around you. And for Buxy, smiles and looks down to you and says, "You have held your word."
Was there ever any doubt?
Always.
Fair enough.
Says, "You must go."
Can we trust that you'll keep your end of the deal?
I will. Two caverns open up. You will go down the one on the left. I will catch up to you.
Thank you.
You walk down the path, and where before it brought you into this filth lair, this brings you into a different area. You see in this chamber twisting ledges that divide it into multiple sections, creating a series of deep tiers. You see stalagmites that dot the floor, and you hear like a babbling sound.
Like, are we talking brook or incoherent talking? Yeah.
Like incoherent babble.
Damn it. I was hoping it was brook.
Me too.
It's never brook, is it?
Everybody make an intelligence check.
I will put a babbling brook in the side scroller just for you, Amy.
Oh, an intelligence check, you say?
Mm. Well, I got a 4.
I got a 6.
Wow.
We're doing great.
Yeah, that's pretty good, guys. I got a 11. So
nice.
We're killing
how about
it.
Manix? Fingers crossed.
5.
Oh, around the board.
Yeah, that's good rolls. Flint, fortunately, 11 was enough to know that this. Yeah, I know, right? To know that this babbling that you hear in as you focus on it, it sounds like different languages and almost different voices. Absolutely different voices, but you recognize it as the sound of a gibbering mouther, or two of them.
Did you guys hear that?
Make a nature check if you want to know anything more about them.
Boy, do I, because they sound great. Just based on the name, delightful.
Do we get to make that nature check if we don't know what it was to begin with?
Flint hasn't told you anything about
it
yet.
Right. It's okay. It was a terrible roll.
Oh, nat 20.
Oh, hey, yo.
I think we don't want to get too close to these things.
What are they?
Well, they're called gibbering mouthers.
Flattering name.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, well, they're hideous to look at, for starters, but then they can also mess with your mind, so careful here.
Great.
This lich, I don't understand his design aesthetic. So beautiful when we got here. The library, the bathroom, the nicest bathroom in the whole world. And then
I feel like
piles of
that
garbage.
Was a librarian.
Yes. Yeah, I feel like that could be the influence of the greeter there.
You're right. You're right. The rest has been very consistently completely disgusting.
Wallace. Just echoed on the wind. Wallace.
Oh, shit. It was Wallace. Sorry, we forgot you, Wallace.
Okay, so in this room, so you're standing at like the top tier and it descends down and there are stalagmites. Three of them on the first tier, two on the second, two on the bottommost tier. And then it all kind of, it all narrows down to a passageway down at the bottom of these tiers.
Do we just plug our ears and go?
Perhaps.
Okay, let's do it. Let's just, yeah. Let's go.
So you're all plugging your ears and moving down these deep trenches, which are 10 feet high. It's easy to scale, but...
So we are... I'm having a hard time visualizing this place.
Picture it like a coliseum. So each tier moves down another 10 feet.
Oh, okay. And we are at the bottom.
You're at the top.
Oh, we are at the top.
And down at the bottom, it narrows to an opening. Right. And then there are these stalagmites sticking up in each of these tiers.
Neat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we can't actually climb down these with our hands covering our ears. So I take my hands off my ears and I start to climb down. Because we can see, right, that they end and that there is the place we need to go. All right, I'm going down. I'm yelling timber.
Okay, you go down first and you land next to one of these stalagmites. And the gibbering gets louder as you descend down this 10-foot.
I start to hum loudly.
Make a wisdom saving throw.
Oh, but I'm humming so loud.
Yeah.
I'm curious what you're humming, though.
I mean, I think Kesha.
Yeah.
It's, oh, okay. It's certainly in my head now.
For sure. I'm so sorry. Sorry. A wisdom saving throw?
Yes.
Oh, fuck yeah. How about a 26?
Whoa.
You hear the babbling get louder and you turn and you instantly see this gaping maw before you. You know, describe what you see.
Well, it's a little bit of kind of a red goop monster, so it seems. It seems very, kind of like how I, putty, like silly putty that's been molded into this, like it has this horrifically long, tall mouth and like little like gooey bits that come off of it, and it's got like a mouth on its knee, and it's got like this big blobby torso, several mouths in there too. Also, it looks like several sets of teeth, kind of like alien, like mouth within the mouth situation here. It's yuck.
Delicious.
I go, hi!
It's yuck.
Roll for initiative.
Oh, 21. What is happening?
5.
12.
Go, Thea.
Thea casts fairy fire on this creature, and it envelops it in a violet light. And if it fails, any creature in the area, blah, blah, blah. Okay, it has to make a dexterity saving throw.
19.
Oh. Yeah, okay then.
More dexterous you would think that blob would be. Hey?
Really, you wouldn't think a monster comprised of mouths would be very dexterous.
I rolled just a nat 20. Nat 20.
And then I just say, "Fine."
That's what you do.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's not all I do. I get to go more than one time. I know this. I'm going to...
Do you?
No. How close is it to me?
It's like right in front of you.
Oh, can I use my... can I use my shield to jab at it?
Sure.
What would that...
Like a d6.
Well, I need to roll to attack.
Plus strength.
Plus strength, okay.
Well, you gotta roll to attack first, but... So plus strength.
19.
That will hit it.
So just 1d6?
1d6.
Plus nothing?
Plus strength.
5.
Okay. You hit it and it like cracks a tooth inside one of its mouths and it shrieks and babbles. Everybody else, you looking down on this, you saw one of these stalagmites turn from ground into this thing as Thea rams her shield into it. And you, Thea, need to make a dexterity saving throw as it releases this like chemical spittle
18.
From its mouth. It goes towards your eyes and you close them in time and cover with your shield. And you hear like sizzle on the other side of your shield as it rolls down.
I turn the shield around and I see it's marred the beautiful intricate designs on the front and I'm just like, you fucking...
And it reaches out to bite you... for a 14.
Not gonna be it. Okay. Jump back.
Cool. Flint.
All right, am I still, like, up above this thing?
Yes, sir.
Ooh.
Yeah, Thea was the one who specified she went down first, so...
Can you, like, fly from above?
Yeah, I mean, some sort of jumping, flying axe attack sounds good.
Yeah. Sure, yeah, it's only 10 feet.
Axe attack.
Okay. Or I guess, I wonder what would be better for me to use, whether it's the axe or the... No, we're going to go with the moist tongue longsword, Russ.
I mean, it's a tried and true method.
Yep, so as I jump and I, like, put the sword so that I have, like, both hands on the hilt and I'm, like, going to drive it down, I yell the word, moist, as I go.
I like it.
And I guess roll to hit.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, that should be all right. That is...
Not too bad if I do say so myself.
A 26 to hit.
20. Yep. Oh. You got it.
That is 14 damage and then some extra cold damage. An extra 6, so 20 all said and done.
Nice.
Okay, you stab down deep into the flesh of this monster, and it tries to, like, bite up at your hand. Your sword is embedded inside of it. I mean, you can take an action to try and withdraw it, and then you'd have another action, because you have 18 actions, right?
I do have 18 actions, yeah. Yeah, so I guess I'll pull the sword out with one other action, and I will attack it again with the moist tongue longsword.
Right.
That's a 19 that time.
Roll me some damage. All right.
6 and 5 is 11, plus an extra 5, so 16 damage.
You slice into it deep. And you feel it kind of wrap around the sword, and the flesh around it is freezing and decaying as it does so, and it tries to pull you in to one of its mouths. Make a dexterity saving throw.
17.
You manage to get free, but you release your sword, and it gets enveloped in, and then as the cold seeps into its skin, it rolls down to the floor. Which does not bounce to the next tier, but it's down on the floor. Yenbul.
How tall is this room?
Where you are standing, it's probably only 10 or 15 feet tall, but at the lowest point, it's another 10, 20, 30, 45 feet. So 15 feet where you are, 25 where this thing is.
Right, so what is that? 30, 50 feet total?
Yeah.
40 feet total? Math's hard.
Right.
Okay. And how is the thing doing?
It is bleeding and teeth have been knocked out and like huge gouges have been taken out of it. But yeah, like decaying flesh from the cold damage of the sword.
So it's, you know, it's having better days.
Perfect. Perfect. Then I am going to... So there's a bunch of those other stalagmites, right?
There are several more.
So I might want to be proactive, since we know that those turn into the creatures, right?
I mean, that is certainly what it appears.
Certainly
like.
how it appears. So I am going to... Let's give that a shot. Yeah, I'm just going to cast Thunder Wave at one of the other stalagmites that is closest to me.
Okay. That one's a dex save on my part, or you have to attack
it? It's not what I was going to do, but the thing's hurt, so I don't want to waste something real rad on it.
Mm-hmm.
Con save.
Okay. Describe to me what your Thunder Wave looks like.
Well, I guess since we're sort of in an underground cavern, like the air moves, but because I am directing it at ground, it would almost be more like an earthquake, I think, as it hit this stalagmite with thunderous force.
You see it ripple through the space and hits the stalagmite, and it begins to crumble and crush and explodes out into the room as dust and pebble.
Oh. Well, sort of anticlimactic, but yay!
Unless it really was a creature and you killed it, it just...
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. I'm going to assume that's what happened. That's all I get to do. I only have one attack.
Amy hadn't clued in that it was previously potentially a stalagmite. And so Thea looks up to you and goes like, what?
Yes, we had the advantage of watching from above, like as the thing turned into the thing. You didn't. I mean, it makes sense that you wouldn't have known that's what was happening.
What'd that giant rock do to you, Yenbul?
We're to Mannix. They're going to draw their mace and move down towards the stalagmite that you just exploded and try and make their way down to the next tier. So they're going to make it down to the next tier, which is more of a clear opening. So there, it looks like they're trying to make their way down to this opening down at the bottom here by bypassing as many of the stalagmites as possible. Thea.
Mm-hmm.
You rang?
This hurt things in front of me.
Yeah, it's looking a little pretty bad.
And Flint's beside me?
And Flint is beside you.
Cool. You know, just so I don't hurt him.
I don't think you can hurt Flint.
You'd have to try real hard.
I think it's entirely possible in theory.
Yeah. I mean, magically maybe, but...
Yeah,
sure. Mm.
Well, I'm going to cast Toll the Dead, and I'm going to point my finger at the... What's it called again?
The Gibbering Mouther.
Gibbering Mouther. Ugh. And we hear that awful bell sound ringing in the air, and the target must succeed on a wisdom saving throw or take 1d12 necrotic damage. Oh, go fuck yourself. You just go fuck yourself. Or nothing happens yet again.
I can't wait to transcribe that.
Right?
Natty 20.
Whatever.
Again?
Nobody cares,
again.
Russ.
I did.
Nobody likes your trick die, Russ.
Yeah, Russ.
MetallicDiceGames.com. You can use the promo code DRAGONS.
Can you take a look at that die and just make sure it's not 20 on every side?
Oh, it didn't even occur to me.
No, it rolled a 6. It's fine.
That sounds right. Okay, sounds like a legitimate dice.
Second time.
Sorry, Russ, what was the promo code for MetallicDiceGames.com?
You can use promo code DRAGONS, 10% off, and get these sweet dice that roll really well.
That apparently roll lots of 20.
Yeah, it's the Misfit Metallic Dice. Go check it out, MetallicDiceGames.com. It's the middle time. Oh, I haven't sung that in forever. Oh,
it's been so long.
Nobody's taking summer vacation anymore.
Well, is that because it's not summer anymore?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I'm not taking a summer vacation again till like for like a year.
Okay, we've got that out of the way.
But we missed you guys, and we're back.
We can't wait to share all the great stories like this shopping cart episode. Can you believe it?
Waiting in line. There's trash monsters.
You know, shows when they come back after a month-long break usually bring you like a real humdinger, a real whammy.
Yeah, they try to like wrap up a cliffhanger or something, but nah, shopping carts and garbage monsters.
That's what we did. Welcome to Dungeons and Dragons. This is the middle of the episode.
Classic where Dungeons.
We can't apologize for what we did several months ago, but that's where the schedule landed. So what we want to tell you about today is directed to you, our patrons who live over at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. We've got this great survey that we've got going around over there. In fact, it's what we call a community survey where we want to hear what you think about what we're offering on Patreon.
We want to give you more of the stuff you like and less of the stuff you don't like. So we'd really appreciate it. You just filled out the survey. It's very short and easy.
It's really easy.
And then we would have a better idea. Then we can maybe give you more of the stuff you're hungry for.
And if there's something that, you know, you're not super digging in there, those are options in the survey. You can let us know.
This survey that we want you to fill out, it's going to dictate what we've got coming forward from October into next year. So please have your say. If you are a patron of ours, if you're not, we'd love for you to come join us as well. Patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. And now let's get back to the episode. See how much more shopping carts we can find in this lich's lair.
It's probably more than you think.
Trash on trash on trash.
Done promoing during my turn. Thea looks down at her.
Seemed like a good opportunity.
And is like, this is the third spell that has, I think, completely fallen flat for Thea. And is like, the fuck? Hey, Flint, do you have a weapon I can borrow or something? I'm not allowed to ask?
No, you're totally allowed. You don't have a weapon?
No! I have an oath bow.
You have a shield. You don't have like a scimitar from like when we were playing around the table? Come on.
Yeah.
Backpack, bedroll, hide, leather, longbow, sling. Tinderbox.
I think I remember there was a point that you dropped a bunch of shit because you were like all druidy and bullshit.
Oh, right. Because metal
working with the nature. I was like, no, I don't want it. Regrets. I've had a few.
Regrets.
But then again, there's a gibbering mouther.
Do fucking have a pass without a trace potion. It's in my character sheet.
You've been afraid to use it since.
Well, I actually didn't think I had it. Okay. Hey.
I do have a two-handed great axe if you want.
May I?
Yeah.
Thanks.
It is 2d12 for damage.
Jesus Christ.
Plus your strength and not proficiency because you're not proficient.
Yeah.
Well, I rolled a one. So I think I lift it up over my head and it's heavy and it goes back and
fall
I'm like,
back over.
And I've fallen over backwards. And I don't know, can a gibbering mouther laugh?
Yeah, it sounds babbling, but you get that it's laughing like hardcore and spitting up blood as it does so.
I get up and I like rub my lower back and I'm like, fuck you.
Flint, your turn. No, it's the gibbering mouther's turn. It's going to go for Flint.
It's not going to go for Thea.
No, it feels bad for you. But that's only a 10 as it tries to bite out. It's like laughing so hard. So hard. Mm. And now it's your turn.
All right. I will, I guess I'll use my Rod of Lordly Might and I'll turn it into a battle axe. And I will attack with it.
All right.
And I will also use the paralyze function on it, Russ.
Okay.
I know what you're thinking. What?
You have a function on that?
There's three different
things. Amazing. I didn't even know you could paralyze something with it.
Well, it's amazing what happens when you look at your character sheet, right, Amy?
Who knew?
We're learning things today on Dungeons & Dragons.
We're doing so good today. Okay, to hit, that one is... Oh, wait, that's the wrong window. Hang on. All right. Oh, well, that's a lovely plus 13 to hit. So that's a 21 to hit.
So tell me what you do.
I am going to roll damage, and then I'm going to go back to the other page, which tells me what to do with this paralyzed function. That is 16 damage.
I mean, you can tell me what it does, but that exactly kills it.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I'll save the bonus action for another time.
Perfect change.
Yeah, I imagine Flint turns around and is like, hey, guys, I can take care of this. And then you just stab into it, and everybody's like, yeah.
Yeah. He's done this before, folks.
Like, you have to pick up your axe. I can't.
Do I have, like, a pocket dagger or something that I can give her?
Maybe, like, a Swiss Army knife or something similarly small.
Sure.
I'll keep an eye out for, like, a little short sword or something.
You survey the scene around you. Mannix has gone down another step. And everybody make a perception check.
I'm going to pick up my moist tongue longsword, by the way.
And
Russ.
So just to clarify, we can hear creatures, but we can see no other creatures.
Yes.
The stalagmites are still just stalagmites.
Yes. The babbling has still continued. It's softer now.
Okay.
But you still hear it.
24.
And sorry, what are we rolling?
Perception.
18. But also I have an idea about what I'd like to do. But first, tell us what we perceive.
Sure.
I had a 7, so tell Carla what she perceives.
Everybody except Flint notices that down on the bottom tier, where there were two stalagmites, one of them appears to have moved more closely since you've entered to the cavern opening down at the bottom of this.
So I imagine they pick up their stalagmite skirts
and
walk forward.
Yeah, and the little legs.
Yeah,
they only have 10 feet of movement, so it's slow. Just between actions.
Until suddenly it's right up on you.
Yeah. And all of you who notice this, you look at it, and you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the only thing that's changed in this room other than the exploded stalagmite and the dead gibbering mouther.
I have a suggestion. Since the stalagmites seem to turn into the creatures, perhaps we could just get on the magic carpet, fly down to the hole, avoid all the stalagmites, and get out of this room.
I'm on board. Literally and figuratively.
Flint just kind of has this look on his face like, we could have ridden the carpet the whole time?
I mean, honestly, I thought about it at the beginning, and then I thought, well, it's not very fun if all we do is get on a magic carpet and ride all the time.
That's
but at this
true.
Point.
Yeah, you know what's in this room.
Why not?
We know what's going on.
We can have outsmarted it. But yeah, otherwise it's like, okay, Russ, we just ride the magic carpet through the whole build. Like, that's
I use pass without a trace.
Yeah, like, let's make it more fun. Let's blow up a stalagmite, even though our friends don't know why we're doing it.
It was confusing, but...
It's very good. You all climb aboard the magic carpet. Every time you turn and look back, this one stalagmite has moved a little bit more.
You're not fooling anyone. That's what I yell
Wait,
at it.
Is it like the ghosts in Mario when you turn around and look at them, they like stop?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You fly down into this opening down at the bottom over top of the... other gibbering mouther who you see form back into the gibbering mouther, kind of look defeated and then form back into a stalagmite and then begin to move back to its other location slowly as you disappear into this cavern below. It narrows and gets down to about 15 feet. You're still able to all stand atop the magic carpet if you so desire. Yes. Flying through.
Well, sitting.
I feel like I'd sit. Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe I feel like I'd push my luck.
Maybe you're a little boaty point break here. I don't know.
I feel like sometimes I probably would, but since, we don't know what's coming. There's narrow caverns. Mm-hmm. It seems like I don't want to, like, clothesline myself. Yes.
Also, you fall off. I believe this carpet just drops out of the air.
Yeah,
so.
Probably.
That's cool. Okay, you're all sitting on the magic carpet as the...
Russ is like, oh, that's good to know.
Just writing something down completely unrelated.
Unrelated
to
for
nothing.
A later session, everybody. And then this chamber quickly opens up as you slow your pace and enter a new area where there is a slab of jet black stone that sits at the center of this cavern alcove. Its sides show relief carvings of familiar old faces. You look at them a little more closely, and they're your own faces.
Do those look like...
This looks like us, yet doesn't it?
I don't remember sitting for this. But, like, they did a really good job with
yeah,
us.
Yeah, aged me, though, like, 250 years.
You look very distinguished as an older elf.
Oh, well, thanks, Yenbol. You've aged nicely yourself.
I feel we should not touch anything, because...
Yeah,
like the
yeah,
mirrors,
we should never
magic,
touch anything in here.
This is not piles of garbage, but it is magical and dangerous in that way, I suspect.
It is a sneaky kind of danger.
Yes.
Okay. Can we look around and see an exit?
There's no exit.
Of course not. Is there an exit up? I look up.
Negative.
There's a sign that says, if you want to exit, touch your own portrait.
Oh, shit.
Everybody make an investigation check in this room.
Just going to say, can I investigate?
Not great, guys. Not great.
Oh, nat 20.
Oh, well, I got a 4, so 15. Thank God.
This is the Flint knows all episode.
Flint knows stuff.
Yeah, Flint's a real smart guy.
Flint knows all and Russ dodges all of Amy's spells.
I didn't mean to.
It just happened. It's fine. Let's just not talk about it.
I didn't mean to know everything, but I keep.
I know. This is just you're underground. This is your home.
Oh, yeah. This is Flint's time to shine.
It seems underground.
Underground in a floating pyramid.
Yeah. It seems like you're underground in a floating pyramid.
Also, Tom, I think that's how I live my life. I didn't mean to know everything. It just
happened.
It's not my fault. I knew everything. Right?
You, Flint, look around the room and you find no signs of egress. And you look closely, not touching, but closely at the table. And you watch it, and periodically it alters the carvings on it. You see the faces as you entered. And as you move around the table, they seem to follow you. And you see writings form between all of these movements.
Can I read what the writings say? Is it a language I'm familiar with?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Perhaps?
Maybe? It is in... do you know Elvish? Elven?
I do not. This looks... Like, do you see the writing that happens on the table? It looks... Like maybe Elvish, but I really only need the, or I really only know the word for friend.
And bathroom.
No, I don't know that one.
All right. Oh, that would explain a lot. Okay, it says.
You look at it, and it looks like an old form of Elvish. So you make out touch, transport, and level.
Touch, transport. Level. And then I can't. It's in an archaic script. We don't really like this anymore. Touch, transport, level.
Can I roll something? I also speak Elvish. Can I roll something to see if I can understand?
Sure. Yeah. Make an intelligence check.
That's not great.
History or...
Oh, history's good.
History could be
I'm good. An anthropologist, yeah. You see. I like learning about things.
Did we know that about you?
No, because you guys don't know me at all. We came and then the city was exploding.
Yeah, there's been a lot
just
of...
adventure. Yeah. Right.
You look at it and you see the words that touch transport level and you piece them together into a phrase that loosely translates to... When you touch this portal, you will transport yourself to the next level. And you can also make out, you will be one step closer to the edge.
And I'm about to break.
No, you will be one step closer. You will be one step closer.
This promises to move us to the next level, but what level?
Well,
level of the pyramid? Level of Shangalar's twisted mind?
I think those might be one and the same thing.
You might be right.
I feel like maybe we're on the bottom level of the pyramid and we have to find this room on each level that will maybe transport us up to the next level?
Yes, we must be on the bottom. All we find is garbage. Trash.
Fair enough.
Refuse.
It's gotta go down.
That's true. It all flows downhill.
All right. I think we should all touch at the same time, just in case we somehow get separated.
Yes.
Oh, we don't have like a Freaky Friday situation here.
Would you love to be in this body for a day? It can turn into any animal you want.
Okay. Describe to me the process in which you sing Kumbaya. I don't know. Tell me what
like,
you do.
Do we like shuffle to find our own face? So that we're standing.
Yeah, it would make sense to touch your own face, right?
I think it'd be weird to touch someone else's old carved face.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of reach slowly out with everyone at the same pace and like look at each other like, is this happening?
I reach to my side and I grab the back of like whoever's so like Yenbul's shirt.
Yeah, we'll say it goes Thea, Yenbul, Flint, Mannix.
So I reach.
I don't think to reach out and grab anyone's shirt.
I reach out to grab. Can I reach that far? Is it?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was all on the same side. I didn't realize it was all on.
Yeah, they've been moving around as I described. So.
Yeah. Just, you know, I said just in case. Did we say 3, 2? Thought someone else was going to jump in there. 1.
You all touch the table at the same time, and the floor drops out beneath you like a rushing wave of wind. It's like you're being propelled up into the sky, and then in a flash, you're in a stone-walled hallway. It's torch-lit all the way down. You look down one way, and it ends in a dead end. You look down the other way. It goes down 10 to 16 meters.
Another hallway. How refreshing. Are we all here?
We look around. Are we all there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All 4 of you are there, and Thea, you hear something.
What do I hear?
Hurry, hurry. I gotta go fast. Gotta go really quick. Okay, boys.
And then down at the end of the hallway, you see a pseudo-dragon zip by and then come back and looks down towards you and says,
holy fucking shit!
Donnie?
The song Long Road Ahead is by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.filmmusic.io. All other music and sound effects can be found at EpidemicSound.com or BoomLibrary.com. A huge thank you to our supporting producers, Gabriel Lynch, Kat Waterflame, Devin Michaels, Jacob Madden, Christian Brown, Stevie, Jessica Babiuk, and Darylith. To find out more about how you can support Dungeons & Dragons, visit us at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. Where you can have exclusive access to 50-plus hours of bonus audio content, create in-game NPCs and items, as well as play games with the cast. Patreon.com/DumbDragonCast. Have a great week, and we'll talk soon.
And I also pull out the last of that bread and the smelly cheese and put it on the top as the cherry on the garbage sundae.
Ooh. I'm hungry already.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Cherry on the Garbage Sunday has got to be the title of the episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable & Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
It's the last days of summer, 1920. Do you know where your children are? They should be playing outside.
Come on, Chelsea.
Mima says we're not allowed to go to this house. We're not even supposed to be on this side of town.
Doing their chores.
Why aren't these chicken coops clean?
Please, Father, I'll be good.
Oh, God!
Obeying their parents.
You look me right in the eyes and tell me you didn't steal this bike.
Ma, no, I've been helping Mr. Diamond, all right?
Lord, don't tell me my son is working at a speakeasy.
Exploring their feelings.
Let's go over to the apple tree.
Gosh, okay.
But unfortunately for these young fools, the neighborhood bully has other plans.
Tonight, you are going to meet me out in front of the old Barnaker house.
Howling house? Why?
Now, a Boy Scout, a tag-along, a doormat, and a delinquent will dare to spend the night in the most haunted estate in Arkham. Will they survive to see the sunrise, or will they succumb to the hunger of Howling House?
You're going to die tonight.
What is that thing?
Is this the witch's library?
I'm gonna kill you!
Not tonight!
Roger, make him stop!
No! You watch!
Run away, little ones.
I'm so hungry.
Listen to the Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program's award-winning season, Night at Howling House. The complete story, available everywhere you listen to podcasts, and at CthulhuMystery.com.
All the ounce and free.